Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
We are what's up this week. Another episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Brady Wright, my co-host, Shane Osborne.
Hello.
The master of all things mechanical, as we are well aware. And Steve, the producer, Johan, who is going through the couch cushions for loose change, even as we speak. Back to the blacktop is first. We talk about what's going on in the car biz and the automotive world and all of that other stuff. Steve, as per usual, has collected a veritable cornucopia of meaningless automotive facts. So what do you got?
Man, I can't believe it. I have to keep turning up the mics because I got a deaf ear now.
They need to be turned up.
They need to be turned up all the time. We're all deaf. Are you kidding me?
Jeez, I can't believe it. Well, Ford Motor Company's ongoing effort to attract young workers to the company by setting up its tech-based operations in Detroit took another step forward today when it announced it completed the purchase of the Michigan Central Station for an undisclosed sum. And we talked about this, that they're taking over that old train station that hasn't been used for decades.
Yeah, no kidding.
The automaker had already set up some tech-oriented operations in the neighboring Corktown District, and the acquisition of the train station previously owned by the Moran family, which also owns the Ambassador Bridge.
Kind of an Art Deco building, isn't it?
Yeah, very cement. It's just all one solid cement building.
Yeah.
Ambassador Bridge. They own a bridge. Very interesting.
I'll sell you a bridge.
cements the company's plan for the area. The company declined to comment on the plans to use the building for saying it will reveal it on June 19th. So, woohoo! Look forward. They're going to do a big reveal. But I suspect
it's
gonna
that's
going
to be Starbucks.
Millions.
Lots of espresso coming out of it.
Yeah. Well, what did they do in Seattle with the old Rainier building? Tully's took it over. Then they went defunct. And then it's like a storage next to it. Now they got historical whatever plaque on the side of it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it is a historical building.
Yeah,
they've designated it Seattle Heritage Building, I think. Yeah.
Yep.
But there's a couple of different places in there. There's a print shop down there in the basement and some other stuff.
And there's a couple meeting halls.
Right.
We went by the Olympia Brewery on Saturday when we were heading down. I was like, oh, look, honey, that's the old Olympia Brewing Company over there.
Brewing. Have another one.
Brewing. Yeah, I've had three Olympias there. Not. And that was never a beer I liked. So.
No.
2019 Volvo's V60, one of the few makers of luxury wagons. So Volvo is one of the few makers of wagons these days.
Yeah, they got some nice ones, too.
They are
Volvo,
nice.
Audis, Mercedes.
Yeah. Mercedes.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, they're in the luxury line now. Yeah. They're all in the luxury line. Volvo has been putting out beautiful wagons for a long time. And they've got the basically all-wheel drive, which is their XC60. But they, the Northwest American Utility Vehicle of the Year, the XC60, and because it boasts nimbleness, functionality, and to be honest, it's a nice-looking car. We looked at getting one of those, but we were like, yeah, can't quite afford one of those, but they're beautiful.
In Europe, they would call it a shooting brake.
You shooting brake?
Yes.
Why is this?
It's the designation for a station wagon. It's just like they call a fender a wing, and they call a trunk the boot, and
the other one the bonnet.
Hood the bonnet, and I don't know why. It's just British.
They call it, what did they call it again?
The hood is the bonnet.
No. The station wagon, what do they call it?
A shooting brake.
Shooting brake.
Yes. I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't know.
Oh, my.
I know trivial crap. I just don't know why.
Well, speaking of European, you just segued right in the next one.
Didn't I?
Porsche's Mission E battery electric vehicle has a new name. It will now be called Taycan.
No.
Taycan.
What?
T-A-Y-C-A-N. Taycan.
Take it inside and charge it.
Yeah. Because all the other good names were Taycan. I don't.
Where did they come up with the name? It says.
I think they lost the name lottery.
Here
on this
it
one.
Is.
Yeah, they did. They lost a bet.
No.
Does
which
it sound?
Here's the name.
Does it sound better in German?
It does.
It's taken.
Which in German means?
Oh please.
Lively young horse.
Without name.
In Turkish. It's a Turkish.
Is it German or Turkish? Make up
it's
your mind.
It's Turkish. Why did they take a Turkish name? called Lively Young Horse and put it to a Porsche.
Well, because Mustang was already taken.
Lively Young Horse.
And they
Come
didn't want to. They wouldn't want to.
These are the jokes, people. This
they
is
didn't
want to
resurrect the Pinto.
Ooh, good move there.
Yes, the Porsche Pinto?
They could have called it the Stallion. The Stallion would have been better than a Taken.
Could have called it the Scallion. This is going downhill fast. I don't know.
I have to admit,
though.
Where
did they come up with this? This is a terrible name.
It is a terrible name. It says a reference to the horse on its corporate crest.
Okay.
But would anybody know that?
I guess.
Not us.
If you put a picture of the logo. Yeah. There's
Porsche has a horse?
Yeah, but so? Well, Ferrari, too. Yeah.
I think a Porsche Stallion sounds a whole lot better than a Taken.
Well, they didn't ask us, clearly, because we would have had
it. And I bet you T-A-Y-C-A-N in Turkish is spelled, pronounced completely different, and it's completely different in German. So, anyway.
All right, Porsche.
Taken. Lively Young Horse.
I don't know how many of these are going to sell based on
I don't know either. Maybe that's a premonition of what's to come for this car.
Okay.
That's what you feel after you buy it.
A premonition.
Oh, here we go. No, Taken. I get it. Stop him. Stop him before he does this again.
He's just rolling.
Yeah, well.
You're good. Hey.
You think we're the only ones. This is going to be no.
No.
Well, two automakers each had two vehicles fall into the top 10 of top family cars for 2018 as ranked by Parents Magazine and Edmunds. Can you guess who the two manufacturers are?
The top family cars.
Yes.
For 2018.
Two cars out of these two manufacturers, both manufacturers had two cars fall within that. So
okay, the Bugatti Veyron.
No.
And no.
The Chevy Suburban?
Nope.
Ooh.
Honda Odyssey and Accord.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, I can see
that. That makes sense. Yeah. And Chevrolet's Traverse and Malibu.
That's because Chevy still makes sedans.
Yeah. Ford won't be on that list ever.
No.
No.
Never again.
Ford has eliminated everything.
I know.
And it's interesting because Hyundai is coming on with more of their luxury sedans. And they were saying there's not a lot of low-lying sedans out there.
We'll see how long this lasts. Ford is going to come back.
Well, sedans need to come back. I mean, they are not selling as well as they used to.
No.
It's true.
Bump the price of gas up a little bit, they might.
I don't know.
You know, people in the United States will pay $5 a gallon and still drive an SUV. So let's face it. I got a Astro that gets 15 miles a gallon, and I'll still keep using it. So,
you get 15, huh? Wow.
Well, 18 out on the freeway, about 12 around town. It's a brick. Look, that Astro's a brick. It's just a cement cinder block with four wheels going down.
It's all-wheel drive, too, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So it gets not very good. I'll tell you what, eight full-size adults can fit in there very comfortably. That's why I did that.
It takes that money to pay for the gas bill.
Let's all pony up. Who's got a 20?
Actually, you get 18 miles to the gallon whether it's fully loaded or not.
Yeah, it doesn't change.
It doesn't change.
Yeah.
And I can
My Subaru's the same way. It's lousy gas mileage no matter what's in it, where you go.
But I could pull a 5,000-pound trailer behind it if I wanted to. That's the reason why I've never pulled anything behind it, but at least I can. But it makes for great road trips. Anyway, updates on autopilot. The National Transportation Safety Board's investigation into the crash of a Tesla Model X determined that seconds before crash, the vehicle was in autopilot mode, accelerating and had no input from the driver to avoid the collision. Walter Huang, 38, was killed in U.S. Highway 101 in Mountain View, California, when his Model X slammed into a road divider. His two other vehicles then burst into flame. Huang, according to his wife, had complained previously about the failure of the autopilot in the same area before.
Did you say his two other vehicles or the two other?
Hit two other vehicles.
No, I misunderstood.
Huang had the vehicle in its semi-autonomous autopilot mode for nearly 19 minutes before the crash, and it was set at 75 miles an hour. However, due to traffic, it was going 65 miles an hour before the vehicle in front of him moved, allowed the Model X to accelerate to the selected speed, and bam.
That's very strange.
Yes.
It is.
Was he playing Pokemon or something?
I don't know.
How do you drive 19 minutes?
Semi-autonomous.
He's on the freeway somewhere.
Yeah, 101 somewhere.
This is the danger of autonomous cars, folks.
Well, this is
Well, you shouldn't be able to set him over the speed limit.
That's true. Hey, we're glad you're with us. We got today's trivia question coming up and a rundown of the week's events, car shows, and other stuff just ahead on Horsepower, Chrome, and Autonomous Rust.
Hey, everyone. Steve Johann here, producer of the Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johann. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade trunning 4-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwich is a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
We're back with the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. As usual, it's Brady, Shane, and Steve here. And it's time for the windshield view. And today we're going to talk a little bit about what happened this weekend at Fenders and Fins in Issaquah, the Triple X Drive-In.
Yeah, or Fins and Fenders. Or one of the
Fins or Feathers or Feathers.
Or Feathers and Friends.
Feathers, Friends, and yeah. Flip-flops. It was actually a pretty good show. Pretty well attended. They have, as usual, you know, Jose puts on a great show out of the Triple X. Yeah. It's really a nice place to go. And there were a lot of cars out there. It, fortunately, the weather held for, you know, 90% of the show.
That's good.
All of the hail and rain and stuff happened in the north end, and I didn't get very much down there, although I left before most of it hit. But I was told later on that it was okay up until the end of the show. Good stuff. A lot of good cars. A lot of 50s represented out there. Yeah.
Which makes
sense. Keep them away, but that's good.
Yeah.
It makes sense because when were the big Fenders and Fins?
Oh, they were 50s, 40s.
Oh, you bet.
That's right. Yeah. They kind of went away when it hit the 60s.
Yeah, about 62, 63.
So
lost all the
everything
shit.
Started getting square.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Good show. Yeah. And let's see what else. There was a cruise-in, sort of an instant car show out at the Dairy Queen out on Bothell Everett Highway.
Oh yes.
On Friday night. They're doing that now pretty much. A lot of local areas have, you know, spontaneous car shows on Friday nights to find some handy drive-in. And the Dairy Queen out there is doing pretty well, you know, pretty good job.
Where's this at again? Which
one? It's on the Bothell Everett Highway, which is in northeast Seattle, Bothell area, north of Lake Washington.
Yes.
So if you're not from this particular area, this means absolutely nothing to you, but it's
at Thrasher's Corner.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a block from my house, and I haven't been to it yet.
Yeah.
I thought they were. Do they meet at the Burgermaster, which is just down the road?
No, this is at the Dairy Queen.
But do they have another one that meets at the Burgermaster?
Burgermaster parking lot's way too small.
Yeah, they don't do anything down there.
Even you're right, because is it Fred Meyer or whatever that's right
Safeway
there? Safeway right there. You're right.
Yeah.
We used to go to that DQ for every time we got through with our the year-end soccer for my kid for a while because we used to play out there. So.
Burgers and ice cream, why not? Yeah, that one's coming along pretty well. I think there were probably 40 cars out there.
Wow, that's a pretty good turnout.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
Well, I came across this kind of very interesting blurb, and I thought I'd pass it on to you guys. It says, a really cool possible answer to the carbon issue. And it says, a popular Bible tale tells of how water was turned into wine for thirsty wedding guests. An alchemist once hoped to turn lead and other base metals into gold. Now, a team of Harvard scientists say they've found a way to do something equally miraculous, and that's transforming CO2 from the air we breathe into gasoline. A new paper published this week in the scientific journal Jolie says the Harvard University researchers, working with a Canadian energy company, Carbon Engineering, have found a way to remove a metric ton of CO2 from the atmosphere for no more than about $232,
okay,
and possibly as little as $94. By using a little magic and some limestone and hydrogen that the alchemist would be proud of, the process can yield new hydrocarbon fuels such as gasoline or jet fuel. The basic concept known as direct air capture, or DAC, has been around for some time, but the problem to scale this has been cost. But now that the costs are coming down, they're going to be able to look at this again. And I think, what a wonderful deal. You could just set that up in your little township, start pulling all this stuff through the air, suck it in. Next thing you know, you got a little filling station. I think it's a great idea.
It's a great idea, but there is history. Yeah, well, yeah. There's no more. Well, we got plants.
Okay,
plants
you can set it move. Next to the in Hawaii where the volcano was exploding.
Well, the thing, you know, there's several incidents in history of people coming up with cheap ways to make gas or, you know, stuff, make the fuel out of water and all that. And every time that happens in history, the big three, the oil companies, and, well, they buy the patent or they shut the guy down. One way or the other, it never comes to fruition because nobody wants to give up the stranglehold they've got on fuel. And I'm not saying that's going to happen this time, but, you know, it's licensing and it's manufacturing rights and it's all of that inspection stuff and the EPA will get involved. I hope that they do it. I would be a fan of it, but I'm not.
You're not
going to
hold your breath.
I'm not going to hold my breath. That turns into gasoline. I don't know. It sounds fascinating to me. I'm really interested in technology like this.
Me too.
But I don't know.
And I didn't even know it existed until I looked at the blurb and I went, "That is a cool thing."
So, is there any byproducts off of it?
Gold.
Gold.
It's gold.
I'm not sure, but you know, over in Asia, they have a lot of little mini plants that take plastic pop bottles,
right,
and they convert that into gasoline because plastic is a byproduct of gasoline.
It's petroleum.
It's a petroleum.
Yeah.
So they take all this plastic, the plastic bags and stuff.
Right.
They shred it up. They put it in this thing, pressurize it, and the next thing you know, out comes gasoline. And it's like little mom and pop shops that are doing this all over Asia.
No reason not to.
I think it's a wonderful idea. And I hate to say it, they'd sooner bomb the crap out of Middle East and get cheap oil than they would to let this thing go by.
Well,
so maybe, just maybe, we will get some other way to make fuel that doesn't require any of that stuff.
Well, that would be something.
It would.
And there are other alternative fuels, you know, that are being made from plastic and things as well. Not so much petroleum, but propane and other, you know, natural gas type fuels that are coming from.
And you've got biodiesel, which is out of fat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It actually smells like French fries when the cars go by. It's very interesting.
Yeah, Willie Nelson's tour bus.
Yes.
And
that's not French fries, though.
Well, it could be French fries.
That's what comes next.
That's right.
Well,
yeah, he's been running on biodiesel for years, though. His tour bus. No, seriously. His tour bus has run on it for years.
Speaking of biofuel, Freightliner, the U.S.-based truck subsidiary of Daimler AG, is taking direct aim at Tesla with a debut of two new battery-powered semis that it plans to begin fleet testing later this year. The E-Cascadia and the EM2 join a range of smaller delivery trucks that Freightliner and other Daimler truck brands have been rolling out over the last couple years. A number of major freight and delivery companies ranging from UPS to PepsiCo have expressed interest in the clean fuel efficiency. And Volvo AB and Volkswagen AG have been involved with this, as has Nikola, not to be confused with Tesla. They've all brought these things on. And what's really cool about these things is you can run a small motor. It powers the turbine much like a diesel electric train, because by the way, the diesel engines are small and they power the turbine motors,
right,
like a dam does, and that's where you get the power. And so now they're looking at doing the same thing with trucks. And the amount of horsepower and torque out of these things is unbelievable.
Well, you'd hope so.
And interestingly enough, when we get our hot rod conspiracy guy, his shop, he actually works at the manufacturing plant that builds these things.
Oh, so very cool.
Might be able to bring him in on that one a little bit.
Yeah.
When he's not talking about really cool hot rods that he's building. And then lastly, legendary national hot rod drag racer Tom the Mongoose McEwen died last night at the age of 81.
I saw it.
McEwen is one of the most widely recognized names in national hot rod history.
Oh, the Mongoose. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, Mongoose, Hot Wheels, models.
Well, Hot Wheels sponsored his dragster for years.
He did.
Yeah. Serious stuff.
I mean, but that was what you were... I was making the car models and the Snake and the Mongoose. They were going against Don Troubadour and Chi-Chi Mondowney and Big Daddy Don Garlitz and all that. Those were my heroes when I was growing up.
Shirley Muldowney.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. It's a sad day in the annals of, you know, the dragsters' end of the sport, because he was a legend.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, 81 though. He did live a nice ripe long age there.
Yeah, he did.
So.
Yeah.
And. I was just going to say that, no, I, despite Trump administration's threats to impose steep tariffs, European-made vehicles and continue to pressure People's Republic of China, Daimler AG is investing $1 billion into a new factory in Hungary.
Oh, that's right.
So.
Well, it's nothing, there's nothing like, you know,
good,
solid manufacturing to, you know, kind of, what am I trying to say, stand up an economy.
That's right.
And that's going to be,
2,500 jobs at least.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge thing as we open up some of those other countries.
We'll stay right here for more Horsepower Chrome and Rust for these messages.
Hey everyone, Steve Johann here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johann. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Attention men, under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz drag...
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
More Horsepower Chrome and Rust after these messages.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau d'Ismel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punkle Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ismel, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
My old stomping. Welcome back to the third segment of the show, and this week we have Chris Kwok in with us. He is, well, the manager of a local automotive parts stores called Baxter's Auto Parts.
One of my favorites.
And yes, they happen to be located very close to where Shane works.
They are.
So are you constantly running over there and getting parts from these guys?
Me? No, I call them and they come to me.
That's right.
They run. Don't be running across 99 to get them there. Go around the block. Am I right there, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
You just throw it across the street like a football.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could throw brake shoes across the street. Well, maybe.
You could throw a little
spark plugs.
Nice. You could put a cable in a, what do you call those?
We just need drones. I like that.
Little RC flying cars.
Amazon delivery, that's good.
Yeah, across the street.
Welcome to the show. Glad
so
to have
anyway,
you.
We got Chris in to talk with a little bit about how things go at an auto parts store, what makes a good auto parts store. And so, Chris, how long you been into cars?
Oh, I would say right around like 16, 17, you know, you see it and you start thinking, hey, I want to drive one of these things.
Sure.
You get the bad idea to actually drive one and realize, oh, this is a different thing than I thought it was. And then it just kind of evolves from there. You start taking them apart and putting them back together and realizing you did something wrong. And then you try again and try again. And eventually you get there and you get your grasp on things.
Yeah, you're lucky if you get your grasp on things. Many of us are still looking for a grasp on things.
Still grasping.
How long have you been at Baxter?
I've been at Baxter's for just shy of 2 years.
Nice. And so you're the manager of the store?
Yes, sir.
Now, tell me, we have an audience of people who are car people, and everybody's familiar with auto parts stores. What's the number one thing that you get asked about when people come in? The number one thing?
Blinker fluid.
Yeah. I mean, we have a muffler bearing sitting on our counter.
Do
just
you?
For the heck of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get it.
Right and left-handed tools?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll get mix of people, everyone that wants to cause issues and people that just want a decent person that they can talk to understand them and give them what they need. Last thing people want is to ask, the dumb questions. I need a wiper blade. They ask you, is it automatic or manual? Is it a hatchback, coupe?
Sure.
Things like that don't matter.
Yeah.
And you got to use it like half a brain at least and then be able to communicate with another human being. You can do that, and you can be a parts guy.
I like it.
What...
I got a quick question.
Oh, okay.
I went to a parts company here, local, and my son went in and bought a heater core. And the heater core is aluminum. And then within 2 years, it's leaking. And then I talked to Shane. He says, the original heater core should be brass?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Why is it the parts cars, auto parts, even sell something that's going to fall apart and it's not made for it?
Well, I think it comes down to when it comes to a grand scheme of things, you have a buyer sitting behind a counter saying, okay, we need these parts for these prices. And they get thrown on a sheet, so they're not looking at every individual part. They're saying, okay, this is made from this reputable company, and they expect that that's going to have quality if it's got a warranty, just like everything else. But they don't think about, on the manufacturing side, what deteriorates with what types of coolants, what type of coolant is in that system necessarily. So Baxter's is, from what I've noticed, they're definitely changing what their parts are constantly to walk away from the no-name brands, get maybe something that's maybe a little bit more expensive, but something that's definitely going to last, and then try to offer an alternative brand to get you, that economy price if you don't care about how long it lasts necessarily, within the window of, 2 to 5 years.
If you're maybe selling the car or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Everyone has their motive behind
budget.
Buying.
Well, and every retailer operates on kind of a good, better, best situation.
Yes.
Do you want the Cadillac version of whatever part it is, or do you want something that's just going to work? I get
but
that.
But my thinking is this. If I'm a parts seller, or mm-hmm. I'm the parts guy, I'm going to say, okay, you got six things here. Now, I would think there's a spec in there somewhere that says, the spec is you need a bronze, but these four are aluminum and these are bronze. Now having worked at a warehouse that sold parts to you guys, mm-hmm. All I know is I got a number. I went and pulled that number. I threw it in a bin, and off it went. I didn't think twice about whether it was the right one or not. I'm thinking most of the time you're looking at these five. You're going, here's a price, warranty. And the guy goes, that looks good, and out the door. Rather than going, if I went to a dealer, the dealership's going to go, well, this is exact part, and we only carry the exact part that matches that car. Yeah, you pay twice as much. Why do I pay? Because it's bronze and it's supposed to be, or brass. Am I kind of getting it there?
Yeah, that's true. And in my store, it's a little different because you not only have the OE people saying, hey, I have Honda Civic that needs, you know, brake pads. I also get people like Shane and Elton coming in saying, hey, we have a 62 Buick. Oh,
do you have
okay.
backer parts for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just parts. You have to know what the customer is doing with the part too as well.
Right.
Sometimes it doesn't apply. Sometimes the customer either doesn't even know their vehicle or doesn't have a clue.
Is there a universal sort of cross-reference? Like in certain cases, people have a car that they're building, and I need brake shoes or I need rotors or something for this, but I don't want the ones that were on there. What else fits? There's kind of that. Is there a cross-reference for some of those types of things? Or is it, this is what I want to do. I know it'll fit. Can I get it?
Kind of.
You see what I mean?
Like with like Dana and stuff, you can get a bill of materials. They'll tell you what backing plate numbers, stuff like that are on it. But you can't go and say, hey, I have this old car necessarily. There are people that have done these things, interchange stuff.
Sure.
But from brand to brand, on some of the classic stuff, no, they won't have an exact interchange. They'll kind of say, hey, find it yourself.
Yeah, and you don't have research. Obviously, there's a physical limit to the size of space you have. You don't have every part there. You have, distributors you can get the stuff from, I'm sure.
Correct.
But you're bound to run into, how often do you run into a situation where you just plain can't find the thing? It's unobtainium.
Unless I ask for it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes the other, you can't get it. I mean, it's just not available. You got to get from someone or something. But the other side is getting it, getting multiple parts that could fit the same thing and figure out what is the actual difference. Because there is no catalog listing. There's no specs.
Sure.
You got to have that thing in hand.
Yep. Oh, so that would go back to what I said earlier. You don't necessarily have all the specs there. When you're looking at that part, you're pulling it out and going, well, that looks like the part that I just pulled out, which probably is why my son's car was leaking when he got it, because the neighbor had replaced it with one of these things. So when we looked at it, we're like, oh, looks like the one that came out.
Yep.
It takes someone who's a expert to know these things. When I am a shade tree mechanic, my son's a shade tree mechanic, I don't know these things.
Yeah, it takes somebody that's changed it 50 times to know.
Yeah.
Right.
This is why they fell and what they fell from.
That'd be a great brand for parts. Shade tree parts.
Shade tree parts, yeah.
You know, if it's from Shade Tree, it might fit.
It might fit.
Excuse me.
Chances are you'll be doing this next summer.
That's right. Shade tree. It lasts shady until you need it. Wait a minute.
So what drew you to working in a parts store other than probably a great place to get discounts for all the parts you need for your car?
Yeah, I had a car that didn't work.
So. That's more of a personal thing. I moved up from Oregon, where Baxter's is very predominant, running my own company. My mom got sick. I'm young and need to go back to school. So it was a good middle ground for me.
Nice.
I know enough about cars to help anyone that walks in the door. But not needing to go back into mechanics and wanting to go to somewhere in a different direction.
Sure.
So it's a happy median for me.
Good choice.
Very good.
Thank you.
And it allows you to be there for your family.
Correct.
That's awesome. And, that's what I've noticed is there are people who have come in that may have had a different job earlier on in their life, and now they need to get back out and work, and working behind a counter, and if you know anything about cars, that's a great place to go get another job. And there's a lot of people who say, this is what I want to do. I'm really happy with that.
How many Baxters are there, just off the top of your head?
Yeah, there's around 40, and that's split up between Upper California, Lower Idaho, Washington, and most predominantly Oregon.
Yeah, yeah. Because I know we have a few here in Washington, but I know that there's a bunch in Oregon. My wife is from there.
I've seen them on the coast. We go along the coast.
Yeah,
and
Northern
seen
California.
Them there Oregon.
Oregon.
Now, there isn't any. The big thing with auto parts companies is they're always gobbling up each other. So is Baxter's a family owned?
Baxter's is family owned. There's just a handful of of outsiders, but they've been with the company for so long that they're considered family.
Nice.
When I go there for like the trade show and stuff, they're always very personable. They always want to meet and see everyone and you know, bring everyone close to their umbrella and take care of their customers. And that's kind of rare in the parts industry. Before Baxter's, I worked for another private. It was in Napa down in Oregon, TWGW.
Right.
It's hard to find a company that really wants to take care of their employees, in the parts world especially. And you really have to go independent.
In a lot of cases, it's kind of hard to find that in retail in general.
Yes.
There are a lot of large and medium-sized companies that have that as their, you know, their mission statement, but the reality is often very different. And occasionally you find, you know, family businesses, and they usually do pretty well because of that. Yeah. A classic example around this part of the country is a hamburger restaurant called Dick's.
Yeah.
You know, they're family owned and they have benefits for their employees that are phenomenal for that kind
of
business.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
But that's the exception rather than the rule. So it's nice to hear that Baxter's is about that.
Now, I got a question. What percentage would you say of your business is off the street, like Brady and I, versus auto shops, like where Shane works?
I would say 75% of my sales are walk-in off the street.
Okay. Nice.
Most of my other business is very select few shops, mostly specific to performance, fabrication, and classics.
Oh, really?
Correct.
Because you tend to have a little bit more depth in those areas?
Correct. And what I tell people is, if you can find it on Jakes and Summit, give me a call because it's a high chance that I can either get it or already have it.
Oh,
great.
Very good.
And then we also price match. So, that's kind of what we do. But we also, because we're so versed in performance in that category, we don't have as much on hand as some of the big box.
But you can order them.
Correct. Still available. Everything you can still get.
I usually have them the next morning by the time I get to work in the morning.
In most cases, when I'm a lot of times I end up ordering something and it comes in the next day or whatever. And that's not an issue even as a shade tree mechanic, or I should say, a driveway mechanic in my case.
In my case, literally a driveway mechanic.
A gravel driveway mechanic.
No, that's all asphalt.
Oh, that's right. Asphalt. You got asphalt.
Cost me $3,500. It's asphalt. Please me.
Oh, you know, I didn't notice that because
probably
it was covered with leaves and stuff when I went out there.
There was no leaves. I don't have any
Just
leaves.
Just asphalt.
It's pine trees.
Well, that's okay. Pine trees.
Pine needles, yes. There's needles. They're making fun of me. I'm building a rat rod out the side of my house, and I only have a two-car garage, which has two motorcycles and a car in it, so there's not going to be any room for the truck in there. So I have a driveway along the side of my house and a canopy, and that's where the magic happens, except if it's raining or if it's flipping cold. So,
well, and speaking of driveway mechanics,
Shane is laughing because he's seen my stuff, and it's not. This is not magic. I don't know how you're.
Look, Shane does
magic?
A lot of that himself. Out at his house, he doesn't have like a
not
lot
anymore.
Of.
Well, yeah, but he's better at it than I am. I'm fully willing to admit it.
I'm
going to come up and talk
days.
To Chris because I got to get a whole new set of front brakes, not brakes, but a whole new front brake rebuild kit for my chassis because the ones that are on there are solid rust.
And he's the man.
He is the man, and you're close too.
For you too.
I live right around the corner from you. Okay. This is great from the shop. It's not a little creepy. I live right around the corner.
So how many of your clients come in like myself and end up? Popping the hood and replacing the battery, doing this or that, because that's pretty common for a lot of us. We run down there, we got a blinker that's out, we come in, grab a tool, we do it. How often does that happen at you guys' shop?
Oh, daily.
All day
hourly,
long.
All day long. Yeah, just
I love
depends.
It.
That's people will do full-blown brake jobs, and you go out there like, what are you doing?
Oh, gosh, I haven't never
Why
done
do
that.
Why do you have your wheels off?
I can't leave until this is finished.
Yeah, and they do it so fast, like you're thinking, okay, I just sold this guy brake pads, you left, and you go out during your lunch break an hour later, and you're like, wow.
You're putting the brakes in.
He's putting on now.
Which is kind of a very unique thing about auto parts stores in general around here.
Yeah.
Is a lot of people pull up, I got to charge my antifreeze, I got to do this, and a lot of guys will just come out and say, here, let me do a test, let me check. Mm-hmm. You can save so much money by going to people like yourself before you even go to a shop to have something worked on.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we're running out of our time, and, I just want to say, Chris, it's been great having you in here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, also, we're going to make sure and get your website and your – you've got a Facebook page?
I don't believe Baxter's has a Facebook page.
Sorry, we'll get your website and your email. We'll put it up on our Facebook page so people can get a hold of you if you want. We might even bring a picture of the store and put it on the site so people can see it. With you standing out front waving. Thanks, Chris. Glad to have you with us.
We'll be right back with more of the show and a great hot rod story you can share with your friends. It's coming up next.
Today we decided to walk to school.
The light counted. 15, 14, 41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade 24-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces of 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwiches, a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Olderden Hill Chateau d'Ismel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ismel, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau d'Ismel, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau d'Ismel. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau d'Ismel, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
We're back to the fourth segment of Horsepower Chrome and Rust. This is Cars Confidential, where Brady tells us a nice story.
Oh, it is a good story, too. Like all kinds of hot rod stories. We usually get these from the old Car Nut book, and as mentioned many times before, David Dickinson has compiled some marvelous stories from all kinds of guys who have stuff that relates to their early life with cars. This one is by a guy named Paul Kelly, and the story is called Messing with Leroy, and I just like the name of it. I think it ought to be pretty cool. So it starts, when I was 18 years old in El Cajon, California, my best friend was a guy named Leroy. Leroy was black, but I never thought of it particularly. He was just my best friend, and I was colorblind. So one day we went out in my 500-horsepower Mustang, and I got a wild hair, and I said, you know, let's just kind of whistle by a California Highway Patrol car, and I lit the tires up so I could get him to chase me. This was called fun. My buddy Leroy looked over at me as if I was crazy. He said, Paul, this is not a good position for a young black man to be in. I didn't really get it until that moment when things weren't really kosher for guys like him back in the early 70s. So the whole thing started about 2 weeks before that. A group of us were all sitting around the parking lot at the supermarket with our hot rods. We could see across the parking lot into the laundromat and watch two guys run in and grab a woman's purse from her. When these guys came running out, I got in my car. I chased them across the parking lot. I got out of the car, left it there, chased down the one with the purse, got in sort of a struggle with him, wound up dragging him back along with the lady's purse. So when I got back to my car, the police were there, and they thought my car was the getaway car.
Oh.
That situation sort of got straightened out once they realized what had happened. So this was where I met Officer Reese. He thanked me for doing my civic duty while the crook complained to him that I hit his head on the bumper of a car when we were fighting.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, well, stuff happens. Officer Reese told him to shut up and proceeded to throw him in the back of his car. This was the 70s, after all.
Yes.
He took the crook away, and the lady came over and got her purse, and everything was fine. 2 weeks later, I did this thing with the highway patrol, where I was burning my tires to get them to chase me with Leroy in the car. Well, they pulled me over. By the time they did, the highway patrol guy was out of their jurisdiction, so having restrained us just in case we tried to escape, they waited for the city police to show up. Well, who shows up but Officer Reese? He took the highway patrol handcuffs off us and gave them back to the CHP guy so he could leave. Reese came over to me and said, Kelly, he says, I don't owe you a darn thing. Get out of here. Leroy was scared to death. I mean, he's a young black guy in the early 70s, a very strict Christian mother who I called Mom. He told me quite emphatically, Mom can never know that we did this. Move forward about 22 years. We're at Leroy's 40th birthday party, and we're completely roasting poor Leroy. I got there and decided it's time to let the cat out of the bag, and I said, Mom, there's something I've kept from you for over 20 years, and I've got to tell you. Mm-hmm. Leroy looks over at me, wide-eyed, and he says, PK, don't go there. And I ignored him, and I laughed out loud because I'm in this room full of folks and Leroy's family, and I go on to explain that night of long ago and how I'm running from the police with Leroy in the car and how he explained what a bad situation it was for a young black man to be in. The whole room was full of people about to fall out. Cracking up. So I finally go on to tell Mom about all of the events that happened there and some of the other things we did as teens. She was crying. She was laughing so hard. So it was 22 years of holding on to that secret that messing with Leroy finally came out. Yeah. You know, David, he collects such interesting stories in this book.
It is.
And they're all about all different kinds of things. I just had an opportunity a couple of days ago to explain to somebody on Facebook, one of our, was it Rat Rod Richardson? Might have been Reagan Heaton. It was Reagan from the guys on the east side of the state. He was talking about the Hot Rod Lincoln, and I said, I know where that story came from. It's in the old Carnut book, the actual Hot Rod Lincoln story.
That's right.
And I said, we had David Dickinson up. He actually read the entire story about where, you know, Charlie Ryan built the car and everything. And, you know, yet again, there are three books in this series, and they're full of just fascinating stories, real-life stuff that happened to everybody. Oh, yeah. Some of them are back in the day, and some of them are not that old. But you can get it on Amazon.com. You can get it at Evancourt Press. And it's, you know, like I say, there's three books in the series. And they make an excellent gift. And I thank David for letting us read some of those stories.
Yeah, we just picked up a Hot Rod Lincoln motor.
You did?
Yeah.
V8?
Yeah, a guy had it underneath his bench in the back corner of the shop. And he says, you come to drag it out, you guys can have it for $100.
Really? Is it covered with barn dust?
It is covered with barn dust.
Wow.
So we went over and pulled that baby out. And
yeah?
Just a big stamp in the valve covers, Lincoln V8
Lincoln
on them.
V8.
What year is that thing?
That's 52, I believe.
Whoa, for $100.
For $100. Complete manifolds, carburetor.
Everything.
Nice.
Everything's still on it.
Is it flathead?
No, it's not flathead.
It's an overhead now.
It's
okay,
overhead,
52.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, so flatheads went out, what was the late
40s? No. Ford had them in 1950.
Yeah.
Ford okay.
Had them. Yeah. So it could have been either way. But
we're going to tear it apart and re-gasket it and put some new bearings in it.
That's great.
I think we're going to put in a 35 Ford pickup.
Ooh.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
You're going to pull one of those cabs off the top of the container?
Yeah, I'm thinking the yellow one.
That's a trick.
Yeah, so it'll be nice. A cool project.
That'll
maybe
be
can be able to sell it then if you do it right.
Elton never sells anything that's done right.
you could rebadge it, Hot Rod
man.
Lincoln too.
Yeah, there you go.
I think you know there's a car there.
There it is.
There it is. Yep, I agree.
Oh man, that would be great. Are you guys going to do it completely out or kind of more of a Rat Rod style?
It's going to be done up, right?
Sure. Oh, that'll be sweet.
Elton's not a big fan of rat rods. We work on them, but he actually prefers them all finished.
Well, he's got a couple rods in there right now. Are they, yeah, you're right.
There's a 31 in there.
There's a 37 business coupe in there.
Yes.
There's a 27.
27 is the one I'm thinking of.
The black one? Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's got his pickup truck. It's 35. And
yep.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Ones in there.
Well, speaking of cool cars, if you are a big guy or big gal into, rephrase that, if you're into car collecting, you don't have to be a big guy or a big gal.
No, I'm a big guy.
What'd you get in?
Mechum Auctions, the world's largest car collection auction company, will return to Portland this June 22nd and 23rd.
Oh, that's right.
For the 600, they got expect 600 classic and collector cars at Oregon's Portland Expo Center. Offerings will include everything from American Muscles and Corvettes to classics, hot rods, resto mods, and more. That's going to be huge. And then speaking of auctions, I entitled this, Crazy Money Buys Crazy Cars at Crazy Prices. The latest car goes for, now get this, this is a 1963 Ferrari 250 GT.
Okay.
It set a new record for a publicly reported selling price. It won a few races in its day. How much do you think that thing went for?
63,250.
Say $3.5 million.
You think?
Yeah,
I'm going to say just under two.
$70 million.
70?
What?
Okay, so something else is going on here. It's not just a 63.
It's a 250 GTO question.
What's the cachet?
It's a chassis number 4153 GT, previously best known for winning the 1964 Tour de France.
All right, so it's not just a car.
It's only outright win. With Lucien Bianchi and George Berger driving the Marquis Philippe de Montagu.
So it's got provenance. That's what that's what that's about.
Guess who bought it? David McNeil, founder of WeatherTech.
Of course. Yeah. Like people have that money.
Yeah. He's selling a lot of car maps.
Yep. We'll stay right here for the Geek to Trivia and more horsepower from the rest.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of
Hang on till right after these messages.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377. Where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. The law offices of Ambulance and Chaser are making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Every week it's a different song.
It's the same one.
Oh,
no,
I like it. I like it. Welcome back to the fifth. This is the final segment of the show. It's Around the Wheel. We talk about all of the events and rallies and the club stuff and movies even. Haven't had a good hot rod movie for a while.
No, we have
Although
not.
Although there's some pretty good chases in the John Wick movies, but... Yeah, we also have the weekly trivia question, and this was very cool. I was down at the Triple X over the weekend, I mentioned earlier, and Gary Woodman actually walked up to me at the Triple X and said, "Are you the guy from Horsepower Chrome and Rust?" Which just floored me because we don't do a lot with pictures, but no. He apparently had seen us on the Facebook page. And I said, "Yeah," and he said, "Radios." He said, "Radio, your trivia question is radios." I said, "Yeah, last week's question was when were radios first, offered as an accessory." He says, 1923. I know, it's 1923.
Awesome.
I said, "You Googled this, didn't you?" And he said, "Yes." I did.
We don't care.
He went, "Where's my barn dust?"
Got to carry it with you now.
I know. Now we have to put some in the trunk. So way to go, Gary. What a guy.
That is excellent.
That was hilarious. Yeah. So
that's what we like, participation.
Yeah. Everybody that wins the trivia question gets their own bucket of barn dust that you can put on any car and quadruple the value. So... way to go, Gary. But we got another question for next week. This one's actually a kind of a good one. If you, they're all good ones. Especially in some of the cooler parts of the country, but really everywhere. One of the things that almost every car has in it, well, really every car has in it, is, this is a question for Chris. What is it that every car has in it, Chris? He's working on this.
Come on, real quick, Chris.
He works at a parts store. He's trying to think of so many things. I mean, every car.
Put that microphone
could, every
up
car
there.
Could have.
A driver's seat.
Good choice. Let's go with liquid, a fluid. Every car has.
Some sort of coolant.
No. Perfect. That's true. Exactly air-cooled. Right. Antifreeze.
No.
Air-cooled.
That's not true.
Ah.
That's what I'm
saying. But
I don't have a steering wheel either, Tesla.
Every car has some sort of, that has radiators, okay?
That has He's catching
good.
On.
It's all good. All-weather antifreeze plus coolant, okay, was introduced for most cars that are water-cooled. In a particular year, it may be different from when you think, because they didn't always use antifreeze. It was just water for a long time. So, what year was all-weather antifreeze introduced? If you know, you can get with us on Facebook. You can go to our website. You can stop me at a car show. You can do whatever you like.
Contact us at
horsepowerchromeandrust.com. Yes, and you will win your very own chrome-plated, highly prized bucket of barn dust.
Hey, like this weekend runners. We've got two shows locally. We've got the Hot Rods and Hogs show out at Maltby.
Yeah, that's which is a weekend. Really nice local show.
Which I'm planning to go to. So
I can't go this year.
It's for my Father's Day, so my wife says, choose which one you want to go to.
Nice.
And I says, I'm going to that one.
That one's on Sunday, right?
Saturday.
That was a Saturday.
The other one is on Sunday, and that's the one down at Triple X. That one's... Fenders on Front
Fenders
Street.
On Front Street.
Fenders
it's not at Triple X. It's actually
it's
the city of Issaquah.
Downtown
yeah, it's their little their car show.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to choose one, I'll go the Saturday because I can go out there for about 4 hours, hang out. I know Lance Lambert's probably going to be out there doing the emceeing.
He will. It's
does.
On the 10th, and Lance will be there as the emcee. But that's a really nice show.
It is, and it's
will
small
they have a
enough.
Dino this year?
What's I'm sorry?
That? Is there going to be a dyno this year?
I don't know. That's a good question. But you could find out by just going to Fenders on Front Street. There's a website, and they would know. And I said the 10th. I meant the 17th.
Are you
going
to go to the Hot Rods and Hogs? Because it's down the street from you.
I am.
Good. Yes. And bring your daughter along, and she can,
I'll probably bring one of the shop cars.
That'll be great.
So if you go to Hot Rods and Hogs in Maltby, you can run up to Shane and tell him what the answer to this is.
That's right. Or me.
Or Steve will know, too. That's right.
And I'll say, I didn't know that. I'll check with Brady.
I have no clue.
Well, if I know what the year is.
Hey, that's it. We're going to blow this pop stand until next week. Be sure to like and follow our Facebook page and our website. Check out the archives for all the shows at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright. To keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor, check in with us next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
See you later.